to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming. And Seth is walking away. This way. Over here, Seth. We're starting.
So, is this thing on?
I hope so. Tonight, I'm joined by Seth and Steven.
Heyo!
Steven's here too.
Wait. As always.
Yeah. And this is part two of our Origin special. We have returned to Montana. We are now in Board Game Point of View headquarters, podcasting once again.
And there is a tornado watch outside, so we may die.
Wait, can we just talk about how you missed the chance to say BGPOVHQ?
Ooh.
Because
that's a lot of letters.
Great. Exactly.
Wow. It's perfect.
Okay. It is.
Well, you said it for me, so now I don't have to.
Splice that in.
Yeah. Since you love doing that kind
I know,
of thing.
I don't have to splice it. You just said it.
We're hey, good. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally off topic.
Okay.
But, you know, splicer, right? And how it's kind of like a sci-fi term for a hacker.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that actually came from Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire series. And because I was reading that book, right? And he has little footnotes, and he says how one of the techniques that he uses when writing a Star Wars book is to use words that are similar enough mm-hmm. that we would recognize them, but not the same as their current universe counterparts. So right. splicer or slicer right. instead of hacker. Kind of cool.
I like it.
I do like that.
Although, technically, wouldn't it be the Thrawn trilogy, not necessarily the Heir to the Empire
series? Oh, did
series?
I say Heir to... Yeah, sorry. It's actually the Heir to the Empire book.
Yes. As a part of the Thrawn trilogy.
Yes.
Right. Well, that's a good segue to Origins, because you actually got to meet him.
I did.
At Origins, which was pretty cool. You got a signed book and a photograph mm-hmm. and everything.
Yep.
And everything. Steven waved at him.
Yeah, I don't know why I just said yeah, because I did not do that. But
you waved at him? Did he wave back?
Well, I gave my chest a little rub. Again. And he blew me a kiss. We really connected on an nice. Emotional level.
Well, nice.
That was a crazy weekend.
It was.
Yeah.
My heart fluttered right along with my eyebrows.
So many
impressive.
So let's talk
it's
about
it. It's a tricky
Origins.
Maneuver.
It is, yeah.
So Origin.
What was Origin?
So having
so long ago now.
It was a week ago. No.
Two weeks ago.
Oh yep. My goodness. Yeah. What? So we've been removed from Origins for almost 2 weeks, and looking back on it, if you guys had to describe kind of the environment or the flavor of Origins for those that haven't been yet, how would you describe Origins for the novice?
Dark.
Okay. That's not at all what I was doing. It seemed very welcoming mm-hmm. and very friendly to right. me. It was a rather relaxed convention because I went to Comic-Con.
Right.
And it had the same flavor and feel to it as that did as far as you know that everybody there is there for the same reason as you. Right. So you actually have something in common with like everybody in the whole building practically.
Yeah.
So that is really cool because anybody you stop next to and you can just start a conversation with them if you wanted them like, hey, what do you think of this game? Or what do you think about this? And it can just, you feel very comfortable to like mm-hmm. be yourself, I suppose.
Right.
And because
you can talk about meeples, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to be like, what do you think of the meeples in such a game?
Right.
And they're like, awesome.
Yeah.
And if you were in Walmart, you don't
right.
walk up to people, what do you think of the meeple? You know, so I really liked that. But the reason why it was a bit more relaxing, in my opinion, than a Comic-Con is just because it was more focused. It wasn't as highly attended, of course.
Right.
And everything just seemed pretty, like, well laid out to where there were very few, like, crazy traffic jams or
right.
anything like that. So it was a very fun sort of semi-casual convention experience.
Right.
That was very enjoyable.
And we were there for is this the 40th anniversary? Is
yes,
that what it was? Yeah.
So.
And I think they've selected a space in Columbus that they can grow into. And I want to say that 16,000 people attended this year, which is, I think, wow. the most people that have ever attended.
Mm-hmm.
So they certainly do have some room to grow into that space. But you're right. It was very relaxed. And even talking with Alex, he's been to a few large conventions as well. And He was commenting on the fact that you could walk down the halls and actually not run into anybody or, you know, stop and talk to somebody. Whereas at like a Gen Con or something, you have to keep moving because there's just so many people.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, if we had 16,000 people there around that, I'm trying to remember the numbers. I was at Denver Comic Con last year, and I'm pretty sure there were like over 40,000 people there in one day.
Right.
Like at one time.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, puts it in perspective, and that felt much more rushed. It was still enjoyable, but just more hectic the whole time.
Right. And I think it was a good one for us to attend being our first.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny. My experience from Stevens is actually almost the exact opposite, because the only other convention I've been to was much smaller and it was actually much more focused. And so like in the Smite World Championship, which is what I'm referring to, you could actually stop anybody and ask them what they thought of a certain character's ability and they would be able to tell you because they play that exact game. Whereas then in Origins, it was a lot bigger, and there were people who were doing just completely different things. Like someone that we even talked to about our podcast was only interested in, say, Warhammer. And so then we didn't really have anything to connect on that level. So, like, while obviously it definitely was very welcoming and we were all board game enthusiasts for the most part, it's kind of funny how the transition for me was the opposite of Steven's, more casual, whereas to me it was a lot more hectic than what I'd been to before.
Yeah.
But either way, it's kind of a nice middle ground, though.
I agree.
Because if, you know, we have one end of the spectrum that was bigger, and then, of course, the Smite Championship was smaller, and it was right in the middle, and I think that's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, it was good.
And this being the 40th year, there have been people attending Origins forever.
Yeah.
And it hasn't always been in Columbus. And I think what we're seeing is a changing of the guard a little bit. So I think a lot of the new attendees were younger people like us. And you still see some of the holdover from the older generations. For example, they've got a space at Origins just dedicated to train games. And we're probably not ever going to be in that area. But you look over there and it's people that are, for the most part, 50 plus, who have probably been just coming to Origins to play train games for 4 days. So there was those sects of people, you know, the Warhammer people, the train people, the role play people, kind of divided.
Stay away
off
from the role play people. They can get a little bit weird. No. Kidding, of course. We love role playing.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, Origins was good. And just to give, again, the people that haven't attended something like this a little bit more understanding of what's happening, it was divided into two large areas. So there was the dealer hall that was open, I think, from like 9 to 6 every day. And that's where larger companies were selling games. There were booths set up there for trinkets and clothing. And you could demo games that companies had brought to sell, which we did. And then there was another larger area that was open almost all day, and I think they closed at about midnight. Again, there was a presence from some of the companies, but you could go in there, and there wasn't really anything for sale. You could sit down and play a game, and that's where they had the board game room where you could just pull a game off the shelf and sit down and play. But in the dealer hall, where all the vendors were, there were booths like ChessX, which is just, I don't know, this was a pretty big booth for what it was. I think it took up two booth spaces, which...
At least.
Yeah, probably, oh, I don't know, 30 or 40 feet long. And it's just all dice, as many dice as you can think of, just right there in front of you.
They had a pit of dice.
They did.
Called the Dice Cage. You could swim in it if you were a small person, but it was rather large.
Is that the area where they had like the pitcher that you could just scoop dice up and like put it in a bucket or something and buy just
That's
a
right.
bucket of dice?
Yep.
Okay.
There's so many dice that you could actually get like a pint-sized pitcher just full of dice, and you can just buy that out of the bin. Pretty cool.
And of course, these aren't just all your average white guy.
I mean, or no, they're not all six-sided.
Right.
They're various sides,
various
colors,
sides,
designs,
various side amounts.
Yeah.
And I mean, ranging from like clear, which you bought some clear dye.
I did, yeah.
All the way to like these intricate wooden dice with like these swirly colors and like, and they were crazy. Really and cool though.
I do think the role play crowd does kind of go wild over this booth.
For sure.
Steven mentioned I did buy some dice for Dead of Winter. I got some frosted dice to just add a little bit more theme to our favorite game. But I don't know. Maybe after we start digging into role play, maybe we can appreciate this booth a little bit more.
Yeah, I think
it would be really cool if like each player, you know, had his own set of dice.
We do. Definitely. I do. Some,
yeah.
Adam, you said you do.
I do. I have some.
I don't own any dice. Right. So I'll get on that.
I think my set of dice may be older than both of you.
I'm not sure. Wow.
You nice. Roll them, they just shatter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn to dust. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like, nice.
Yeah. No, I'm not that old.
Okay.
But there were, you could buy trinkets and clothing. Did you guys buy any clothing?
No.
I bought a shirt that was not for myself.
Okay. What was on the shirt?
It was like a cartoon, you know, pop figures?
Yeah.
By Funko? Well, it was sort of that style of graphic for the actual, for the character in question. But it was like a cartoon Batman riding atop Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon. And Toothless had his wings out kind of like it was a bat. And it was in front, and they were in front of the moon, and the moon behind them was glow in the dark.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
It was a really cool shirt. Yeah.
So, who did you buy this shirt for?
It's for the cast member who's not here right now.
That's right. I saw a guy wearing a shirt that I wanted to buy, but the dealer hall closed before I could make it back in.
What was it?
It was, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Kind of like, they got the logo across the top, and then they're all kind of like in fighting poses. This one was Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtles.
Oh, yeah, I saw
that shirt, That was pretty awesome.
I like Pokemon. I like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, there was a whole booth where that was basically their whole thing was pop culture plus Pokemon references.
Nice.
So there's a lot of like Star Wars plus Pokemon.
Yeah, and the t-shirt booth that I was at, I feel so bad. I cannot remember the name. I feel terrible. I feel like I should give them some sort of shout out for the actual like, but
shout out to the shirt guys.
Yeah, whoever those people. Yeah, all, as he was saying, pop culture references and like combining several things into one.
Yeah.
For example, they had a really sweet shirt that I would have bought for myself, but they were out of stock, sadly. That was, I've seen it online before. If anyone listening is familiar with Ripped Apparel, a lot of the designs of these shirts are similar to the ones that Ripped Apparel puts out on their website. But the shirt in question here, it was like Connor from the video game Assassin's Creed 3 combined with Boba Fett from Star Wars. So it was like
cool.
Boba Fett as like the assassin. He had a hood on and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was really, really cool looking. Nice. I wanted it, but they were... They didn't have any more, sadly.
Yeah. Aside from that one booth that I mentioned earlier, most of the shirts that I saw there, I didn't actually like very much at all.
Right.
I felt like they were just too forced and just weren't creative enough. But
yeah. Well, that's the t-shirt biz. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
I agree.
There was a wide variety, for sure. Some shirts you look at and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Others you look at and go, okay, that's pretty cool / clever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They also had a lot... of artists there, which is another thing that I contrasted to Comic-Con, because there are so many artists who go to Comic-Con and have booths that it kind of reminded me of that to an extent. Only, of course, these were more like, you know, Comic-Con themed more around superheroes and stuff. And even though there were a couple of dealers who had like superhero sketches and drawings and such, for the most part, they had a lot of dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people really like drawing dragons, which, I mean, why not? They're pretty cool.
Funny story. I told Seth while we were there that I don't really enjoy dragon artwork. And he pulled me aside while we were in the vendor hall and said, well, what about this? And they were dragons, and they were more of a cartoony kind of illustrated quality. And I liked them, so I was proven wrong.
So, never say
that's right.
You don't like something because there's something out there for you.
There's a dragon.
Wise words.
Abraham Lincoln.
More Abraham Lincoln quotes coming at you.
That was Washington.
Oh, okay.
Denzel.
Shout out to my main man, Denzel. Oh, man.
So in the back of the vendor hall, they had kind of a roped off area where I guess you could go and play games that were up for what's called the Origins Awards. And these are different awards given out at Origins, similar to, I think, every other awards given out to board games. So best board game, people's choice kind of thing. So here are the winners. The best board game was Sheriff of Nottingham.
Nice.
Yeah.
What a coincidence that that was also the game we gave away.
It was the game we gave away.
How insane is that? What a coincidence.
Whoa.
It's like we know what we're doing.
Maybe.
We're not just bluffing.
Right.
Oh, man.
Continue, please.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did give away a Sheriff of Nottingham game to one lucky Facebook follower. His name was Corey. He's a teacher and I think takes care of the finances at his church. So it was cool to give a game to somebody that has kind of ties to a lot of the same things that we're into and try and promote in the hobby. So,
right.
Side note. Yeah. The best card game was Splendor. So
really?
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a typical card game to
yeah,
me.
Exactly.
I mean, there are cards, but
cards really are the main element, but
those poker chips.
The chips.
Yeah. I mean, something more like diamonds.
At some point, I really need to play this game.
Yeah,
I have not played Splendor, and I for like three episodes now, you guys have made reference to right. these chips.
And as much as you appreciate tactile feedback,
right.
I think I really love feeling these chips up.
Dude,
yeah,
I'll feel anything.
I know it.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, Splendor, best card game. People's Choice, Dead of Winter.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoa.
Not surprised.
No.
Yeah.
Man, it's like it boggles
the mind.
We're the voice for the people.
We are. That's definitely it. Are. And the best children's / family / party game, which is kind of a weird category.
Yeah.
The Hare and the Tortoise, which is a yellow game that we didn't quite get to, but it's in their storybook line. I think it's the fourth game in their storybook line. But it won, you know, a best children's game.
Nice.
So
or best might party game.
Yeah, or a family game.
Yeah, it's. I feel like there's a very wide gap that could be made, though, between a party game
right.
and a children's game.
I know.
It so was, that's...
I looked at the nominees, and Archer, the board game, was nominated. I'm like, there's
for
no
family
way
games,
you're
going to
let your family or child play the Archer board
I
game.
Mean, maybe.
Maybe.
But on,
wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
What if your family is all above the age of 19?
Well, there you go. Yeah, then definitely. But children, I think they are going to change that. I think they'll probably put party in its own category next year.
Are those the only four awards that they give out?
Or? No, they gave out best new role play, like manual, best historic game.
That one. Okay, so we have children, family, and party all in one.
Yeah.
Then we have best new role play manual.
Oh, yeah.
That is very specific.
I know. They had, I think, four Whoa. Or five role play specific awards. They had.
Did you see the booths everywhere around the hall just for these manuals? It was insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are all these? Mm-hmm. And I like looked at them and every single one is like a manual for a role playing type game and stuff
right.
and explaining
well,
yeah, these kind of things.
I think it's like a huge mm-hmm. deal, but it's just, it's funny the contrast
right.
how
right.
specific that award seems compared mm-hmm. to that
I think,
huge.
I think it is because they don't have as many family, children, and party games. And so, yeah. you know, they
lump them all together.
Yeah, lump them
Why
all
not?
Together. Right?
Yeah.
So I think they'll be making some changes, but yeah, they had a few other categories, games that we don't play, like war games. We're not really heavy into war games. And they had a few categories for that as well. Risk Legacy is not a war game. These are like
I realize, but yeah, I still like.
You're talking
war
about
games.
Like the miniature type level, or just more strategic.
More strategic,
okay.
like reenactment. Kind of games where you're reenacting
oh.
specific battles. Or
I saw a couple of those being yeah. played over in the game hall.
Right.
They always look so cool to me, mm-hmm. but also like it would take so long
oh, does,
to
yeah.
like not only play the game but even just to figure out like what's going on in the game.
Right.
That you definitely, I don't know. It would take a while to build up experience. Yeah.
Something kind of funny related to that is when we did go over there and we saw the scenarios for the Battle of Endor mm-hmm. and the Battle of Hoth in Star Wars. Uh-huh. And when you look at it, it's super cool.
Right.
You know, it's these iconic battles.
Those were awesome.
And then you see how the people are playing it. And I see a kid and he's rolling. And then they're like arguing over like what the dice mean
okay.
for his one unit that's attacking. And he's like, okay, yeah, you got me. You got this one guy. All right, mm-hmm. fire next shot. And so he's firing again at a separate person. And I'm like, I don't think I could take that much time
right.
to just roll the dice. Although it looks super awesome. I just don't think that I would be able to, you know, enjoy
that experience.
Well,
with that said, we asked them about, like, how complex is this game?
Right.
Something, a question along those lines. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how it's a relatively simple and laid-back, like, mm-hmm. scenario
right.
game.
Right, exactly.
Where it's just, like, the range isn't really a factor. It's just kind of like a line of sight type thing, mainly. Mm-hmm. And, like, you yeah. have several stories, like, on Endor. You can be up in the trees mm-hmm. or on the ground.
Right.
And the only regulation is if you're in the trees, you can only shoot other people in the trees.
Right.
And if you're on the ground, you can only shoot people on the ground. And then outside that, it was just kind of target whoever and just roll dice and just
right.
mad chaos.
Right.
And yet it was also still, as you're saying, super like detailed on the actual, mm-hmm. like who's dying, who's getting hit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have a feeling those games go on for hours on
yeah,
end.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that is probably a more simple version of a war game, because you look at some of these that are reenacting wars from, you know, World War II, World War I,
right.
and they've got charts charting economy from different countries. They've got sometimes lists of units down to mm-hmm. specific individuals,
right.
and it can get really involved in, like, they could play a single game for probably days.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got awards for this, you know, rightly so. But we definitely
yeah.
do not have the time or patience probably to play some of these, though they look very cool.
Yeah, they look really cool. And I for like the World War II ones and stuff, I love history. And I always enjoy like reading about studying mm-hmm. wars like that. Not because I'm some kind of war junkie, but just because I find it all very interesting.
Right.
So I would even be very intrigued by a game like that. I just don't know if I have the time
right.
or like...
Yeah.
The stamina, practically,
yeah, exactly.
to, like, go through
yeah.
a game. But shout out to all the awesome people who can handle that. Because
yeah.
that's pretty cool to be able to get into that kind of a thing and keep up with it.
Right.
I agree.
And some of these guys design their own after playing for so long. Just, you know, they're familiar with all the systems, and they want to reenact a specific battle, and they just build their own games and bring them and play with their friends.
Right.
So... different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
The other thing that was really pretty cool about, I guess, just the Columbus area was the food. I think we dined pretty well at all the locations. We mentioned Max and Irma's, I think, on the last iteration of our Origin special. But there's also the North Market, which is a pretty cool place. I think it was... some sort of old warehouse that they just kind of carved out, and now there's all these open air shops and things in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything from like raw like meat cuts
right.
and things to fresh baked donuts, and there was a Jenny's ice cream in there. There was a floral shop in there.
Right.
They had tea and coffee and
wine,
just all sorts
spices.
Of, yeah. Wide variety, and it was really cool.
It was super cool.
Yeah,
yeah, it was definitely a market, and mm-hmm. something that I don't think we're used to seeing here.
No.
In our little town in Montana. But it would be cool if something like that showed up here.
Right.
And all the food in there looked awesome. We sampled a little bit of it. We took some donuts to Alex and the Plaid Hat crew when we wanted to go play Spectre Ops.
That's why you want to be our friends, by the way.
Because yeah,
we'll bring you donuts.
Right. That's right.
Because
we'll
we're
bring you
that
donuts.
Awesome.
Not all poisoned.
Yeah.
Just one of them will be.
Yeah.
And then we have to talk about Barley's, which is the brew pub across the street from the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
We ate there twice. And I think a lot of people do that go to Origins.
Eat there twice?
Yeah, I think they do.
Okay.
No more, no less, just twice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Right. But we went in, and it was pretty busy. And we were seated probably within 5 minutes the first time. And our waiter came over and took our order probably, again, within about 5 minutes. And we got our food in 10. And I was just shocked.
It was crazy.
That it came out so quickly. And then it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's so well prepared, too. Yeah. It's kind of sad, in contrast to what they were doing, to say that I work in the food service industry, but I technically do. And I'm just saying that the presentation of all of the food, basically in Columbus in general, every place we went, the presentation of the food was awesome, and it all tasted amazing. Right. So I was very impressed. And the customer service, top notch.
Yeah,
it was, yeah. So best meal, best food you had, because we also ate at a pizza. Pizza place that was a Chicago style. I don't recall the name. It may not have been on the door because you walk in and it's like,
I think we saw pizza and we went in and
it's Chicago style pizza and we're like, hey, and we didn't want inside. Right. But
and you go in and there's like pictures of gangsters on the wall and I think we were one of about, I don't know, three other people in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little shady, but pizza looked good.
Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah. I would say the nachos at Barley's was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think between all of us, I think we ordered 3 plates of nachos round and about Columbus, and Barley's definitely has good nachos. I've also heard good things about their bratwurst, though I don't think any of us sampled that.
No. Mine would have to be Barley's, too. Yeah. I got, both times I went there, I got a wrap, and they're both very good, and I think the best one was the first one I got. It was kind of like a, I don't even know how to describe it. It was chicken, and it was kind of springy and light, and it had
spring
some
chicken
nice flavor to it, and I don't know, it was pretty great.
Nice.
I would also say Barley's.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Barley's, man. You got to check it out. But second time we went, the first time I had like a barbecue burger that was very good. But the second time we went, I want to say it was smoked turkey or was it smoked ham? I cannot remember. Ham or turkey, you know.
Smoked one, meat of some kind.
Some form of meat.
Right.
On like a grilled sandwich with a side of fries. And it was really, really good.
Nice. They also had the fried pickles, which both of you tried.
Right.
And you guys don't really like pickles.
No.
But
I hate pickles. Yeah.
And we both enjoyed them. So that's got to say something.
Yeah. Shout out to earlier when Seth said, never say you don't like something.
Exactly.
Wow.
Boom.
Bringing it around, the connections.
Yeah. So Barley's.
Barley's.
Getting three thumbs up from us for sure. I think the last thing we can mention about Origins, there's a lot to talk about. And I think if you're interested, you just have to experience it for yourself. But
yeah.
The last thing we'll talk about is the boardroom pass, which is where you can go back into this little quarantined area. They've got lockers full of board games that you pull off the shelf and you can just play. And we got the passes and we only utilized it once, I think, the whole 4 days. Yeah, one game. So I don't know that it was really worth it to get those.
I don't think so.
I don't think so because the whole thing, it's very cool, the concept of it, still. It's kind of like a library where you go up to the counter and there's a huge just chest of games, all these shelves, and you just check a game out. You go over to the tables and you play it, and then you can check it back in. Like, that's cool because you just have all of these games to choose from. But what we found is that we were so busy playing the new games and seeing what was, like, up and coming that all of these games that have already been released for a while now, we just didn't really feel like we had time to go play. And then you also, it's a large chunk of time because you have to get it.
Right.
Then you have to read the rule book and learn it and, like, do all this stuff. And then during that time, you could have been walking around learning how to play, like, games that aren't even on the market yet, which seemed way more interesting to me than...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Wholeheartedly. Yeah. I also think that we might have been a little bit jaded simply because we have our own kind of board game wall up here in Montana, up in Bozeman at Rook's. So we're like, yeah, we've seen this. We've been to a place you can just pull out a game and play it for whenever. So that's another factor into why it didn't seem as great to us.
Right. And I would consider purchasing another pass if they had people there teaching games.
Sure.
Because it was really reading through the rules that made me avoid going to that area because we could sit down at the Asmodee booth, and we could we were taught Cult Express.
Right.
And we did that at a handful of places where somebody's just standing there, and you don't have to learn the game. You can have it talk to you in 5 minutes, and you're off and running. So if they have people teaching games.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because even the one game we did check out and play, and this is obviously, this is nothing against you, Adam, because it's just something that has to happen.
Yeah.
You were reading the rule book, and right. so we were all just kind of sitting there waiting for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, waiting until you understood the game so that then you could explain it to us, you know?
Right.
And it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's something that there are so many other things happening that seem, they just grab your attention more than sitting and waiting.
Right.
To understand a game, you know, while somebody just reads a book by you.
Right.
Yeah. Everything else is so busy.
Yeah.
It just seems counterintuitive to like stop and slow down and just kind of devote this chunk of time to something that you could have at another time or at a later date or something like that.
Right. And it might be worth it to somebody who has played a lot of games and they're bringing people to the convention that haven't, and they can just go sit down, and if this individual knows all the games already, can teach them quickly.
Well, and if you don't know many games, I can also imagine that the board game shelf would almost be overwhelming even, because if you just look at this whole thing, just boxes upon boxes, all these titles, it's like, cool, where the heck do I even start? Like, how do I even know what game?
Because
it's all at a distance behind a counter, so you can't even look at the back of the box, see what a game's about, read about it before you get it. It's just like, oh, that's just by the title alone.
Right, definitely.
That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. I'll check it out. And then, oh, I don't even want to play this. And then do you just immediately return it? Or It definitely seems like improvements could be made to that whole system.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if Origins is listening, get some people to teach the games and maybe we'll come back to the board game.
Although, that's probably easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
As we just said, there's an extreme amount of games.
There is. And I think for the most part, that area is run by volunteers. So
it
would be people on their own time
teaching
random strangers games. You really got to love it like we do.
You should do it, Adam.
If I lived in Columbus, I'd consider it. I teach enough games here.
That sounds like
lots of games.
You're losing the fire to me.
No.
Sounds like Quitter Talk.
Yeah. No. Quitter Talk right there.
I will teach you guys some games so hard right now.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Easy, buddy.
We believe you.
We're good. No, but we do, even amongst ourselves, I think our collection is growing.
Yeah.
So I think we do have a little bit more exposure, and we're not as wowed by the giant collection.
Yeah.
So Board Game Pass, kind of a miss for us, but maybe not for you.
And Seth is going to sigh at this point.
Okay.
But it's just a... There we go.
You didn't even say anything yet.
But it's just a fact. I just have to point it out.
Okay.
Beeples actually naturally came out from Adam for once.
It was a misspelling of a word...
It was a misspelling of peoples, but there was a very apparent and obvious B, and it was said beeples. And you had me read this paper not knowing, and I'm reading along, and I go, Beeples Choice Award. And I'm like, did that really just happen?
It did.
Like, with headphones on, I'm like, what?
No.
No. This can't be happening.
I still never asked Alex.
That's opinion. Right, yeah. When we podcast with him, you have to ask.
I definitely
that's
got to
be
ask.
On the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put it on the agenda.
That's the only time that I will allow Beeples to be written down, so that we can bring it up and then instantly destroy it and never talk about it again.
The thing about Alex is that I feel like he might actually be the kind of person like me, who would go, "That's kind of awesome."
Right.
And if that happened,
yeah. So let's talk about Alex.
Let's talk about Alex.
Yeah.
My
let's talk
best
about him.
Friend.
What is with that hair?
He's got... Okay.
By talk about, you didn't mean like roast him.
No, no. He's got a shock of blue hair. That is true.
But that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
I would do that. Cool. I thought about doing that before.
Right.
Never got
not after
it.
I mean,
no.
Okay.
Now that he actually has seen it.
Now I'm like, nope, never. But I'm just saying, if it wasn't for his timely intervention, that could have been me.
Oh, we love you, Alex.
Yes.
We do.
No,
honestly,
no offense.
You rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, up until Origins, we hadn't, all of us hadn't met face to face with Alex.
I had no idea who he was, right. Still.
Yeah. And boom, there he was. It was, I think Stephen and Kaylee actually saw him first.
Kaylee and I were the first ones to lay eyes on good old Alex.
Yeah. Now, how did you get his attention again?
Rubbing my chest.
Okay.
Okay, so we have Board Game Point of View shirts.
Right.
Which you can see if you go to our Facebook page, because we have a photo of them.
Or Twitter.
Or Instagram.
Yeah. Or Instagram, for that matter.
We're all over the
place. Or Flickr.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we were walking along, and we saw him in the Plaid Hat booth.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to just start freaking out and be like a fangirl or something. Be like, Alex, because he doesn't know who I am still. Right. And so we were just kind of awkwardly waiting there until he made eye contact so I could wave, and he might notice the shirts and stuff like that. Somebody has infiltrated the building. Don't worry about it.
yeah, we're good.
Noises.
And,
I'm going to go check on
them. No, stay right here.
It's just, it's fine.
Stay right here.
I don't know who
you're
is.
Being baited. they're baiting you.
Just, no.
They may not come back.
Yeah.
So anyways, so
I know what happened.
I'm still telling the audience, man. The loyal followers.
I'm just joking.
So, but he was busy explaining Spectre Ops to a group.
Right.
So he was so focused on that because he's such a dedicated guy that he never noticed us. But I was still kind of lingering. So I had my hand on my chest, kind of rubbing our Board Game Point of View logo to really draw attention to this shirt. And he kind of finally glanced up at one point, and I'm kind of there rubbing my shirt, but then I baited him, because then I was like, Kaylee, let's go. So he turned and started walking away, and it was that really got his attention, and he stuck his arm up in the air and said, hey, Board Game Point of View, and pointed at us, and we turned around, and I gave him a finger point back, finger guns, said, hey, Alex. And then we went over and we were able to talk to him. We're like, hey, Adam and Seth are here somewhere doing something. And, you know, we'll see you later. And it was magical.
It was.
And I'll never forget that moment.
Yeah. That history.
Somebody, another person shouting Board Game Point of View in public.
I know.
Man.
He did it several times also.
He did.
He was very passionate.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
We have at least one fan. He's on the podcast, though.
So I don't know if it really counts. Yeah.
Oh, it's Kaylee.
Look who it is.
About time, Kaylee. There we go.
You know what?
Look, she went and got pizza and soda here before she came here.
We don't have another microphone.
You're going to have to share with Steven.
I'll stop talking. Don't worry. I have said so much already this podcast. I've been very talkative. So for the game portion, I'll just let you have it. Just run away with it.
Talkative and evocative. But back to Alex.
Yeah.
While Stephen and Kaylee were the first ones to see him,
right?
I was the last one to see him, and it was very sad.
Really? Did you turn as we were walking away?
No, I went back.
Oh, did you?
Sunday morning.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm, and saw him, and we nodded.
Uh huh.
Finger guns.
Yep.
Single tear
yep.
rode out of both of our eyes, the left eye, respectively. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Wow.
It wasn't as magical, but
it was. That's emotional. That's some sad stuff.
I didn't even have any words to say because we'd already said our farewells. And it was kind of like two ships passing in the night. You see them briefly and then they're gone again.
Right.
Out in that open sea.
That's emotional. I would have been choked up a little bit.
I was.
I
literally just said I was.
Yeah, you couldn't get any words out, I would imagine.
No.
Well, that's okay. It's okay. We'll see him again someday.
Yeah.
I was crying at that time as well because I was fighting with an air mattress and it defeated me royally.
Took me one try.
Yeah, I got it started for you.
Like, you wore him down.
Yeah, and then you finished it off.
Also sleeping bags.
Who knew, right?
That was even worse. You were. I don't know what happened.
Three of us got defeated by that.
So, as previously mentioned, we played one game at the board game room area. And I'm going to have to look up the title of this because it's so long. And epic. Do you remember offhand, Steven?
Almost.
Okay. You want to give it a shot before I... Okay. I'm going to let Stephen give it a shot before I actually read off the actual title. No,
I can remember almost all of it, but there's like one bit that I'm trying to connect the dots of.
Is it the adjective preceding wizards?
Maybe.
Because that's what I can't figure out.
It has something to do with, it's like the epic spell wars of the wizards.
Yeah. Battle,
Battle of Castle Tentacle. Yeah, it says Tentacle at the end.
Yeah, Battle of Castle Tentacle, I'm pretty
sure. Castle Tentacle? It's Tower. I thought it was Tower Tentacle. It's so definitely a tower.
It has a tower, yeah. Right. But is it the Tower Tentacle? That doesn't sound right, but it might be.
Something along those amazing lines, though.
This is the epic spell wars of the Battle Wizards duel at
Mount
Skullfire.
What?
Yeah.
No, wait. No. It was Tentacle.
Right. So I think there is a second edition that actually comes with a tower.
Yeah.
I think the first version of this game didn't actually come with the tower, but now it does.
Whoa.
The Tower of Tentacle. Yeah. So we played this game.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting game because you're all a different wizard and you look at the cover of the box and instantly you know this is some sort of heavy metal inspired, like flame shooting out of your fingertips. I don't know how to
describe it. That's a very tame explanation. It's like, imagine everything that could go wrong with the human body.
Right.
And then it does all at the same time. And that's the cover.
More or less. Ages 15 and up. It's that hardcore.
Yeah. It is. It's pretty hardcore.
Like, you have to be a teenager for 2 years before you can handle this.
That's right. And I don't know, we each started with a wizard, and the idea is you are casting spells on each other and about each other in order to slay the other wizards and claim, I don't know, I don't even understand.
The tower,
I guess, in our case. The game actually works like this. There's a giant stack of cards that you draw from, and these cards are made up of the beginning portion of your spell, the middle portion, and the end, but you're all drawing them at random. So on your turn, you're going to try and put three cards together to create a complete spell. You don't have to, but if you do, it's a more powerful spell that you will then cast on the other wizards. And these are really, really weird things.
Yeah.
Often inappropriate things.
Yes.
Just like you'd expect in a heavy metal game.
It wasn't really heavy metal at all, except for one character. My character. Was the essence of heavy metal.
Yeah, I guess I want to say heavy metal because it looks like artwork out of the 80s from that era, kind of psychedelic, sure. I don't know, like
in reality,
neon.
It's just like a super gory acid trip.
Yeah. Yep. Basically.
There we go.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would play this game again. And we only played one round of it, and that was until one wizard was left standing, and that took probably almost 40 minutes. And then we were supposed to do it again 3 or 4 more times after that. The one thing I will say that was pretty cool was the way you keep track of your health, and then you've also got blood points. And the little sheet you keep track of your health with was pretty cool. I thought it's a marker that has a hole in it. So you put this over a number and that indicates how much health you have. And then there's also another marker that fits inside this hole that is keeping track of your blood. And you're using the same sheet of paper to keep track of both things. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty efficient and pretty cool.
Yeah.
So our game of the podcast. But first, Alex eating.
I can see you have an eye for riches. Well, have a seat, lad, and listen to this old sea dog's tale. It may just save your life one day. We were 5 strong when we made sail for the shores of that godforsaken isle. We heard tell of an uninhabited spit of land ripe with strange riches, but little did we know the horrors that lay in wait as we approached its sandy beaches. I remember the air smelled different, like molding pineapple. That should have been our first clue. We weren't but a few paces into the heavenly growth of the jungle when we heard it. The macabre rhythm of an unknowable evil. The island itself seemed to have a heart. And as me mates and I ventured deeper into the heavy jungle, the haunting beat churned in our ears. Ba-bum. Ba-bum. The undergrowth seemed to quiver with the movement of unseen creatures. Right before me eyes, I saw a man lifted from his feet and consumed by a flurry of feathers and vegetation. I could hear the scream for help, the roar of a mighty beast, and the growing thunder of breaking trees. I ain't proud of this, mind you, but I ran as fast as my feet could fall before me, laddie. It wasn't until I reached a small bridge that I drew a pistol and fired madly into the jungle from whence I came. Something large headed me way. I turned in haste to cross the bridge, and that's when I saw it. A giant golden pineapple lay at the feet of a statue on the other side. It was clear the passage was not fit for someone of my size, but me lust for treasure was too great. I started across the unsteady planks, the ropes groaning under me weight. Behind me, I heard the monster burst forth from the jungle. It was then that I felt the ropes give way and me body began to fall toward the river far below. Like a flash of light, I caught a glance at that which pursued me. A small, black rider astride a mass of white fur. The crash into the water nearly broke me, and I spent the evening unconscious afloat on the river. The current must have led me back to the sea, because the next thing I remember is a pair of hands pulling me aboard a foreign vessel. So heed me warning, boy. Beware the jungle of the beating heart, and pray you never set foot on the isle of the golden pineapple.
Pingo Pingo is our game of the podcast. And this is a game about being an explorer or a pirate landing on an island filled with feral penguins who will love nothing more than to kill you. So this is an interesting game. It's like Escape, Curse of the Temple, where it is a timed game. Though it is not cooperative, you are actually competing against the other players to collect the most treasure off the island before you are killed by these penguins. So there is a soundtrack to this game, like Escape, and there is a night phase and a day phase, and you can tell during the day there are drums, and then during the night there are crickets. There's a whole stack of cards that you divide up equally, and on these cards there are things like treasure, and there's booby trap treasure, and if you see a treasure card and you flip one over, if you're the first to slap that card, then you gain the treasure. If you slap a card that has been booby trapped, you then take an injury.
The core of the game is like Slapjack, but then of all the different cards that you're slapping or revealing, you have to do something different with each one. So if you slap a monkey shaman, then you get some health back. Mm-hmm. But then you can reveal cards that you don't slap, but they force you to do something. So around the gameplay area, there are things like bridges. There is a bear. There is a penguin, space penguin statue, which is a callout to another yellow game,
right?
Which is pretty cool,
right?
And when you reveal these cards, you have to do things like shoot them, run around the table, and touch these different pieces as if you're like trying to cross a broken bridge or something.
Right.
And so it's pretty cool. So while you're all hyped up from hitting these cards, then you're gonna let that tension loose and run around the table,
right?
And with the treasure cards, there's day and night. So when you're listening to the soundtrack with it, you can't just slap all the day and night ones. You have to slap the specific ones that go with the soundtrack. So during the day, you can only slap the ones with the light. And during night, which would always throw me off because I just wanted to slap all of them, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a gun with this game. And this gun you load with darts that you'll be shooting at different targets.
Totally my favorite part of this game.
Yeah.
The gun. I was really good with it, too.
All right, okay. Yeah, I was going to say Steven was pretty good, but now, you know, whatever. I'll just let him toot his own horn, whatever.
And you also, with the soundtrack, you have to do these events before you hear the pingo pingo.
That's right.
And if you're not capable to do that, then you take an injury.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the pingo pingo, I think, is supposed to be the penguins like hunting you as you're running through the forest. So yeah, like Kaylee said, if you're not able to complete the task that shows up, you take a wound.
The misunderstood penguins.
Yeah. look at this guy. Would he hurt anybody? No.
He looks a little portly for those.
He has a dead fish on the end of his.
Listening.
Fish aren't people.
You know, he may be portly from just eating so many people.
You know what?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's genetic. He's big boned.
But this game was a lot of fun, and we actually bought it right after we played it.
Mm-hmm.
It was that much fun because we had a lot of fun with it, but we also know that the youth group is really going to enjoy it. And Kaylee and I actually set it up a two-player game at the coffee shop. And
it was horrid.
We played,
horrid.
How many? Did we play three games? Two games?
Yeah, and everyone wanted to come join our game and quit theirs, but they didn't.
We were running all over the coffee shop, shooting darts.
I broke the coffee shop at one point. Had to fix the shelf.
Whoa. Wow.
And then the stupid bear.
Yeah.
I had enough time to shoot like 10 or some bullets.
Right.
And I would just hit the side of it every time, and it would never knock down.
Right. You turn it sideways.
Uh-huh. It was horrible.
Yeah, these standees that you get, I think, are fun because you can set them up wherever you want. So it's really up to you how far you want to run, how far you want to shoot. So I think it'd be fun to potentially put these standees in maybe different rooms of the house and see how that plays. Like, you have to go run upstairs to the bridge and come back down, run into the basement, touch the bridge, come back up. I don't know. Might be a little extreme, but
The art is good in this game.
Yeah.
It's not super flashy.
Right.
And it's not super intense, but I think it really fits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to distinguish what you're slapping as the cards come out, but not too easy. So you can still make mistakes and hit a trap, but you can tell if you look close, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the trap cards are identical to the actual treasure cards, apart from the fact that there may be spiders or something or a snake crawling around it. And it is a yellow game. So, again, the artwork, top-notch. And I think the mechanics are very suited to the theme. Mm-hmm. It's a very frantic game. I think just like you would be on an island inhabited by penguins who are trying to kill you. And I haven't actually watched anybody play it because we're always playing it, but it might just be a fun game to watch somebody play. I guess we'll find out tonight because there are actually children arriving here at Board Game Point of View Studios, to play some games. That's right. I know. I forgot the letters again.
And I do know the people sitting next to us while we were playing Pingo Pingo in the coffee shop really enjoyed watching us, especially me failing with the gun. They enjoyed that a lot.
It was impressive how many times you shot that gun, though, in like a 15-second period. It was really impressive.
For me when I went between the bridges in my daredevil costume.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
We had Steven dress up as Daredevil. Well,
you guys didn't have me dress up.
We forced Steven to dress up because he wasn't going to do it. Okay. He wasn't going to do it.
I almost chickened out.
Right.
But I did like make the costume and get the whole thing together of my own volition. And I just wanted to. But you guys did have to push me out the door a little because I was kind of nervous. It was my first time ever wearing a costume in public. And it's not like Halloween or anything, you know. This is just like, well, I'm walking around Columbus.
Right.
Like
well, again, it was cosplay day. They had the contest that day, so you were definitely among friends.
Totally
and
won.
Yeah, everyone appreciated it, I think. Yeah. It was pretty great. A couple of times we even, like, we're just talking to the salesperson at a booth, and he was like, hey, Daredevil, nice, I like it. And we're like, boom.
I think the best was as we were walking in, you would hear people, oh my gosh, it's Daredevil, look at him.
Like, yeah.
Yep. I think walking with Daredevil.
Yeah. I think my favorite moment playing games with Daredevil was when we actually played a game where you had to play blind. Mm-hmm. So it was just, and we'll talk about that in a future podcast, but playing Bingo Pingo with Daredevil, something we can all check off our list now. Mm-hmm. We talked to Tom Vassell. He had a booth adjacent to the yellow booth, and we told him we liked this game, and he kind of shushed us. He said, shh, quiet down. Because apparently, Pingo Pingo in some Cuban.
Some foreign language
is not a very good thing. Doesn't affect me. I'm going to keep saying it. We live in Montana. But, yeah, that is...
I'm going to use it as a curse word.
Thanks, Tom. So, this will wrap up our Origins special. Final thoughts on Origins. Would you go back?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Lebanon, here we go.
We are definitely going back.
That is definitely a planned stop now. That would be awesome.
So this has been episode 12. Keep your ears open for episode 13. Good night, everybody. Let's go play some games with the youth.
Best board game, Sheriff. Best card game, Splendor. Uh-huh. Beeple's Choice. It looks like Beeple's. Did you put Beeple's on there?
I think so. I might have.
There, it definitely is Beeple. I am so happy right now. It is 100% Beeple's Choice.